If you want to again to turn to God's Word, I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 1 and to read today about the call and commission of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 and reading the whole of the chapter, verses 1 to verse 19. And it says, "The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, God says. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. As sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and to say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. And the Lord said to me, You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And the word of the Lord came to me again, What do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north. I answered, The Lord said to me, From the north disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Amen. Again, we know that the Lord will bless to us this reading of His precious Holy Word again today. The story is told about how a fellow preacher one time was boasting to the famous preacher Robert Murray McShane about how he had preached a sermon about hell the previous Sunday. And McShane turned to him and asked him, "Well, if that's true, I wonder did you preach it with tears in your eyes?" And you know, if there ever was a preacher who preached with tears in their eyes, it was the prophet Jeremiah. He was nicknamed the weeping prophet. And as he preached God's message to the people of Judah, God's people, he felt burdened by the message. He was burdened by the importance, by the weight of God's message. It was a hard message. It was mostly a message of judgment to warn God's people that if they didn't turn away from idols back to the Lord, they would be taken away as slaves into Babylon. And Jeremiah was burdened for God's people because of this hard message. And because of at times his own personal struggles to take on board, in fact, and obey God's word himself. And God's message that Jeremiah had to bring to God's people was a hard message. And it was a message that Jeremiah had to bring to God's people as well during hard times. And Jeremiah, you see, mostly lived and preached during a time of spiritual backsliding, where both the kings and the people of Judah had turned away from the Lord and were worshipping false idols. And he was called by God to preach just as background around 627 years before Christ. And he ministered during the reign of several kings that we can read about in the introduction, the first few verses of the chapter. And a time when, as well, of war. And a time when God's people were taken into exile and the siege of the city of Jerusalem, which led to the eventual wrecking of the city and knocking down of the temple in 586, again, years before Christ. And so it was a hard message that Jeremiah had to bring to the people of Judah, living in hard times of spiritual backsliding and at the same time of political and social and economic turmoil. Things were changing all around them. And at the same time, you see, the people that Jeremiah had to preach to, that he was called to preach to, God's people, the people of Judah, many of them had hard hearts. And they refused mostly to listen to God's word through Jeremiah and rejected his message and continued to turn away from the Lord to idols. In fact, the big impact of Jeremiah's preaching, in fact, was not to soften, but instead was to harden their hearts further. That was the main result of his preaching, not to soften people's hearts, but actually as he preached God's word, it was to harden their hearts even more. And you know, it's for this reason I believe that Jeremiah's ministry and message is relevant to the times that we live in today. You know, while I was first preparing this sermon a number of months ago during the summer, the disappointing news broke out about the Asher's bakery case. And the same time, we were waiting for the result of the referendum in the south of Ireland over gay marriage, which of course resulted in the majority of people there voting yes and in favour and of it becoming law down there. And for that reason and many other reasons, like Jeremiah, perhaps we are burdened for our society with a hard message from God for the hard times that we live in for so many people with hard hearts. And yet the encouraging thing, the amazing thing, is that just as the Lord was still on the throne and as King was sovereignly carrying out his plans and his purpose for his word in Jeremiah's day, the Lord, I believe, is still on the throne today. And as King is carrying out his plans and his purposes for his word in the middle of all the things that are happening even today. And we see, first of all, that the Lord calls his servant. There in verses 4 to 10. The Lord testifies there that he knew and set apart and appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet before even he had created him as a baby in his mother's womb and before Jeremiah was even born. And it's amazing, look what it says there in verse 4 and 5. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before, God says, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's what God says to Jeremiah as he calls him. And you know, the wonderful thing that's true for us as Christians, as believers, that in the same way before we were born, our God created us, God knew us, and God loved us. And God chose us and set us apart to enjoy all the blessings of salvation in Christ, and also called us as well to serve God. Even before this world was created, back in eternity past. Those well-known verses from Ephesians chapter 1, perhaps my favourite verses in the whole of the Bible. It says there, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." How God knew us. And he loved us as believers even before we were born or created. How God chose us and set us apart from the beginning of time to enjoy all the wonderful blessings of salvation and to serve God. Like Jeremiah, to bring the message of God's word to people in the world today. And not only, you see, has God called us, I believe, to salvation, but he's also called us as well to service. And even though our specific calling may be different from Jeremiah and different from each other, and even though I believe the call to be a pastor or a teacher and to preach is a special calling from God, not every Christian has that calling. At the same time, all Christians, everyone here today, are called, I believe, to service and to be involved in the job of getting the Lord's message out into the world today. And our responsibility is to be true, like Jeremiah, to God's calling, to serve God in the particular place that he has called us to go to the people that he has called us to go to, and to speak to them the message the Lord has commanded us to speak to them. For you here in the town of Ahakal, or for me for the past 12 years in Rance and Brookfield, just outside Rathryland in County Down, and now God is calling us as a family to go to Charleston and East Mayo to pastor a congregation there, and at the same time to work as an evangelist and to be a missionary to take God's word to the people down there. We have a responsibility to, you see, obey God's call, whatever that call might be, whether to be witnesses for Christ at home or to go elsewhere as missionaries, to go somewhere on the island of Ireland or even overseas. And at the same time, not to make excuses for doing what God has called us to do. Maybe like our feeling of inexperience or inadequacy or fear. Like Jeremiah does there in verse 6, he says, "As sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child," he says. But simply to obey God's call. And as we do that, trusting God to equip us and give us all the gifts and resources that we need to serve him. Not to be afraid, but to trust God to be with us, to protect us and deliver us from any opposition that we might happen to face. And you know, the Bible tells us that when we're going to be involved in getting out the gospel, that we will face opposition. That just as Jesus faced opposition, that we as his followers for the sake of the gospel will also at the same time face opposition to that same gospel. And yet we don't need to be afraid, but we can trust God to be with us, to protect us and deliver us from any opposition that we may face. Look what God says there to Jeremiah. and answers his fear, reassures him and says, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you.'" And then he says, "Do not be afraid of them," God says, "for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. And see, Jeremiah was given by the Lord, the king, the privilege of being a royal messenger. And that involved Jeremiah obeying the Lord, going to the people that the Lord commanded him, and to go to them with the message that the Lord had commanded him to bring to them. And at the same time, that meant Jeremiah carrying with him the authority that the Lord had given to him as his messenger. And you likewise, today we have the privilege of being the Lord's ambassadors, Paul tells us. The privilege of being royal messengers to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And we're commanded to go to the people the Lord commands us to go to with the message he commands us to bring to them. And at the same time, as we do that, we carry with us the authority that the Lord has given to us to carry out that mission, if you like. Matthew chapter 28, the words of the Great Commission, verses 18 to 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely,' Jesus says, 'I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" You see, as a sandwich, if you like, both sides of the Great Commission, Jesus reminds his disciples and us that he is the one who's been given all authority in heaven. And at the same time, he says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very ends of the age." See, first of all, the Lord calls his servant Jeremiah and calls us to, as Christians today, to bring God's message to the people of the world, those that he's called us to speak to and to bring the gospel to today. Maybe sometimes a hard message for hard times to people with hard hearts. But at the same time, he calls us and commands us to bring it. And then secondly, we see also how the Lord enlightens his servant there in verses 9 to 13. And he touches Jeremiah's mouth, you see, as a sign of putting his words into his prophet's mouth. Look what it says there in verses 9 and 10. It says, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'Now I have put my words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.'" And you see, that was what Jeremiah's job as prophet would entail. It would entail the Lord giving Jeremiah his words, putting his words into his mouth. And Jeremiah would simply be the Lord's messenger or the Lord's spokesman. So that in effect, Jeremiah's words as he preached would be the Lord's words, in fact, and not his own. And that's, you see, why prophets in the Old Testament would often finish what they were saying with the phrase, "Thus says the Lord." Because, you see, their words were not their own words, but instead they were, in fact, God's words speaking through them, the Lord's word. And, you see, it wasn't Jeremiah's own thoughts or ideas or words that he was to preach, but instead he was to preach God's word and God's message alone. And, you know, the same is true for us as God's messengers or ambassadors today. The message that we have to and ought to bring to people is God's word alone. Not simply our own ideas or thoughts or our words, but instead the Lord's words. Unlike the day two, Jeremiah's ministry and message would be hard and difficult, given that the hard and difficult times that he lived in, and in some cases to bring to hard and difficult people. It would cause, we're told, nations and kingdoms to be uprooted and torn down and destroyed. Other times he would build up and he would plant God's people, all with the same message of the Word of God. And you see, in order to explain the nature of his ministry to Jeremiah and to challenge him and to encourage him, the Lord gives Jeremiah two visions. And these, you see, were first of all for Jeremiah's benefit as a prophet, to give him insight into his ministry, that ministry that God was calling him to, so that Jeremiah would know what to expect, and also at the same time to strengthen him and to give him courage. And notice that the first was of a branch of an almond tree. In verse 11, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. And you see, the purpose of this vision of an almond tree was to remind Jeremiah of the Lord's sovereignty over his word. How the Lord watches over his word to ensure that his plan and purposes for his word are fulfilled. Again, it says in verse 12, it says, "The Lord said to me, 'You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled.'" And you know, it's amazing, isn't it, to think about that, when I preach God's word from the pulpit, or when you teach God's word to your Sunday school class, or whatever. At the same time, the Lord is actually watching over his word, watching over your shoulders, to ensure that his word accomplishes the purpose that God has for it. A bit like what it says in Isaiah chapter 55. Again, a verse that gives us great encouragement. It says there, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields its seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose," God says, "for which I have sent it." And you see, the Lord is sovereign over his word and watches over it. So his plans and purposes for his word are always fulfilled. And what was true for Jeremiah's ministry and message is true for us today as we bring the gospel to the world around us. And see, the almond tree was the first to bud in the spring, like a maybe a snowdrop in our country. And it was said about it in a proverb that it watched for the spring. And at the same time, if you like, the Lord watched for his word to bear fruit and to bud and to flower. And it's a real encouragement, isn't it, for us today to know that as we preach God's word today, that the Lord is sovereign over his word, and will watch over his plan and his purpose for his word, even in the hard and difficult times in which we live, where so many people, don't they today, have hard hearts. That as it simply goes out from us, that the Lord watches over it to ensure that his sovereign plan and purpose for his word is fulfilled. That nothing or no one can thwart the Lord's purposes or plan for his word. Not the hard times that we live in, or even the hard hearts of the people that we preach or that we speak to today. But then the second vision the Lord gives Jeremiah is of a pot on the stove boiling over, with the water tilted towards the north. And you know, the meaning of this was to show Jeremiah that God had pronounced judgment on his people, the people of Judah. That he was about to summon the peoples from the north against him as judgment because of God's people had forsaken the Lord and had turned instead to false idols. says there in verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north, I answered. And the Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding nations and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness and forsaking me and burning incense to other gods and in worshipping what their hands have made. And you see, because God's people, the people of Judah, had turned away from the Lord to other idols, God declares judgment against them. He would send the Assyrians and the Babylonian army against them and to destroy eventually the city of Jerusalem and of the temple. And see, Jeremiah's message would be primarily a message of judgment. And furthermore, Jeremiah's message would also be that God's judgment would start as well with his own people. And you know, this shows us that the message that we have to pass on today from God is, of course, as well as being a message of hope and of good news, of salvation, is also too, at the same time, a message of judgment. And before we can tell people the good news of salvation through Jesus and through the cross, that God's love that was displayed there, the new life and forgiveness that they can receive, we need to tell them too, don't we, about God's judgment against their sin, to preach about, if you like, hell as well as heaven. And perhaps as part of this message of judgment too, we need to hear first as Christians that God's judgment is not only against the people of the world for their sin, but perhaps against us as God's people because of our tolerance of sin at times in our own lives. Isn't that right? Including the sin of idolatry, allowing other things like money or material things to take the place of God in our lives. And to look to those things to bring us ultimate security and comfort and satisfaction instead of in the Lord alone. And maybe that's the place that where we need to start today by reminding ourselves in the church that God's judgment starts first of all with us. That he wants to refine us. That he wants perhaps to wake us up, to call us to obey him. And maybe for too long in the West and or in the United Kingdom, as Christians, we've had to maybe things too much or too much too easy. And have become complacent about maybe the idols in our lives or about the call to go into the world and to preach the gospel. And God wants us to wake up. The Lord calls his servant. Jeremiah, the Lord enlightens his servant to strengthen him and to encourage him and to tell him about the nature of his ministry. And to enlighten us as well that there is a message of judgment as well as a message of salvation. And at the same time, the Lord is sovereign and will work out his purposes today for his word as we proclaim it and carry out his calling. And then lastly, in verses 17 to 19, we see how the Lord commissions his servant. And he gives Jeremiah some very quickly final instructions as he calls and commissions him to carry out the task he had given him of being a prophet to the nations. Instructions too that we can also learn from us as Christians today. And he says there in verse 17, he says, get yourself ready, stand up and say to them, God says, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them or I will terrify you before them. Today I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests and the people of the land. They will fight against you but will not overcome you. For I am with you, God says, and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Says those words to Jeremiah, and also, I believe, to us. And the first thing we see is that he must be ready as God's servant to stand for the Lord. And we must likewise today be ready to stand up for the Lord and for His word and for His glory and for His honor today. To be ready to stand up, I believe, and to be counted. To be ready to get up out, if you like, the trenches and to face the enemy. To be ready to risk and put maybe on the line our businesses or our reputation or even our lives. Like the MacArthur family did a few months ago. And I was so impressed by what Daniel MacArthur said when he was being interviewed after the result of the court case. And he said simply this. He says, we must be faithful to obeying the Lord, whether it is popular or not. And that's true for us today. A time may come when to obey the Lord may result in us being sent to prison like in other countries. Having to choose from denying our faith or being arrested. No wonder, are you and I willing to take that stand for the Lord? And at the same time, Jeremiah must also say whatever, secondly, that God commands him. And again, we must stay true, I believe, to the Word of God today, no matter how unpopular or no matter how un-PC it may be in society. Even when it goes against people's lifestyles or opinions or sensibilities. Not to change the message or try to make it more popular or relevant or acceptable, but to preach it as it is, as God has inspired it to be written. And then Jeremiah must not be afraid, because God would strengthen him. God would strengthen Jeremiah to face his enemies. Tells him, make him harder than their hard faces and their hard hearts. Make him like an iron pillar and a bronze wall. So when his opponents fought against Jeremiah, you see, they would not defeat him, because God would be with him to deliver him from them. And you know, we have that assurance today. Yes, we will inevitably face opposition. We will in a few years' time, I believe, even in this country, face persecution as we seek to pass on the message of God's word today. And like Jeremiah did, there will be those who oppose us who will oppose us. But at the same time, we can and should not be afraid of them, because God will strengthen us as we face them. Make us as hard and defiant and resilient as they are, and even more so, by His grace, so that they will not be able to overcome us. Because the Lord will be with us and will deliver us, He says, from them. Again, it says, third, God's word to Jeremiah, says, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. That's the Lord's message to Jeremiah and the Lord's message for us. See, we, like Jeremiah, are burdened with a sometimes hard message from God about judgment, to warn and to call people today to turn from idols to the Lord, to escape God's judgment. And as well as bringing them a message of hope, as Jeremiah also does as well, to tell them of the hope and salvation and new life that they can all have through Jesus. And there's a message too, like in the days of Jeremiah, given in maybe hard times and to many people with hard hearts. But thank God that even in the middle of all this, that Jeremiah's Lord and our Lord is still on the throne and still sovereignly carrying out His plans and His purposes for His word. As in the days of Jeremiah, so too in our day as well. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for Your word. Thank You for the ministry, the message of Jeremiah, His call today that we can learn from as Christians, as Your ambassadors today. That You have called us even before the foundation of the world to salvation and also called us to serve You. To get out into the world Your message today, to share the God's word, to pass on the gospel to others. And Father, we thank You for the privilege of being Your ambassadors. And yes, sometimes it can be hard work. We have a hard message and hard times for hard people. And yet, Lord, You promise to be with us, to strengthen us, to give us courage as we face opposition. Father, to be with us, to deliver us from it and from them all. Thank You that Your word reminds us as we to go into all the world and to make disciples, that all authority has been given to Jesus and that He will be with us even to the very end of time, the very end of the age. Help us to believe that. Help us to be strengthened and to be encouraged, Lord, Your people here in Brookside as they go into their families, as they go into their homes and workplace, as they seek to be a witness in this community, that they would be encouraged and strengthened today. Father, to obey Your calling and to make Your message known to the people, Father, that You've called them to, even today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.